Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter. You can find this on page 867 in the back of your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Here is another story of food feeding people beyond what we might expect. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, our hearts to love you, and our hands to serve you. Amen. Little 9-year-old Danny came bursting out of the Sunday school room. His eyes were frantic, darting here and there, looking for his mom or his dad. And finally, he found his dad and ran to him and blurted out, "Oh my gosh, that story of Moses and all those people crossing the Red Sea was great." And his father looked down a little puzzled, but smiled, so pleased to hear that his son was loving what he was learning in Sunday school. So he asked him to tell him about the story. "Well," said Danny, "the Israelites got out of Egypt, but Pharaoh and his army chased them. So the Jews ran as fast as they could, but then they got to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was getting closer and closer and closer. So Moses got on his walkie-talkie and he talked to the Israelite Air Force and he told them to just bomb those Egyptians. And then while that was happening, the Navy built this huge pontoon bridge over the sea and so that people could cross over. And you know what? What? They made it." Well, so Dad, now even more puzzled, said, "Is that really what they taught you in Sunday school?" And Danny said, "Oh, well, no, Dad, but if I told it to you the way they told me, you would never believe it." And with that, Danny describes our sophisticated adult world where skepticism reigns supreme. With the advances of technology and science discovering more and more all the time, we operate now in a more black and white world of facts, leaving not much room for miracles. And today we get two really similar miracles. The story of Elisha, who in the midst of a famine feeds hundreds with just 20 loaves of barley bread. And then the story of Jesus, who when faced with a great crowd of more than 5,000 people, feeds them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. In both stories, despite these small beginnings, the hungry are fed. And with Jesus, there are leftovers, an abundance of leftovers, in fact. Interestingly, this is the only miracle that Jesus does that is described in all 4 of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the 4 writers in the Bible who tell the stories of Jesus. This miracle, for some reason, unlike all the others, catches the attention of all 4 writers. We'll say a little more about that in a minute. Also, perhaps more than any other miracle, people have tried to figure out just how Jesus did this. Kind of like the little boy who needed to make up a more believable version of the parting of the Red Sea. Perhaps, some say, when the boy who had bread and fish shared them, his example inspired others to also bring out what they had brought with them and share as well. Perhaps. But you know, explaining away a miracle so it's no longer a miracle is not the point of the Christian faith. And personally for me, doesn't do anything to strengthen my faith. How it happened is not that important. What's important is that it happened at all. What's important is that from small beginnings, great things can happen when placed in the hands of Jesus. Consider a situation where there is great need and there are not enough resources to meet that need. We know how that feels. We've all felt that at some point. This church has felt that. Sometimes we are faced with that exact situation. And don't we often respond the way Andrew did? How can we help with what little we have? We don't even know how we will make do ourselves. How can we feed so many? The funds are limited and the need is so great. What we can do is really only a drop in the bucket. We can't really give enough to make that much of a difference. But Jesus, like Elisha, didn't listen to his disciples. Instead, he took what was offered to him in faith, he blessed it, and he handed it back to the disciples so they could distribute it. And there was enough to go around. And there were leftovers. There were so many leftovers that there was more than there had been to start with. But still, we have these 2 competing voices, right? We don't have enough, but feed the people. No way, that's impossible. Here, hold my beer. Which voice are we going to listen to? Back to our 4 gospel writers. You know how when different people tell the same story, they actually each put their own spin on it? It never quite comes out. If you and your spouse have ever told the same story, you know there's a lot of back and forth of what you remember and what you get different. Well, it's like that in the Bible as well. 4 different people tell about Jesus on the hillside with thousands of people and feeding them. And 3 of them mention something that the 4th does not. And what they mention is super important. They tell us that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion for them and that he cared for them. And I think that's key here, the compassion. A colleague of mine tells about studying this passage when he was in graduate school, divinity school. They were sitting around examining the background of the pastor, the past, the the passage, the historical influences that impacted the story's development, theories about the possibility of its actual occurrence. And then someone turned to Paul Holmer, he was the curmudgeonly professor of theology, and asked his opinion. And he paused for a moment, and then he said, "Well, I don't know about all that stuff. I was just thinking that if Jesus could feed all those people, maybe he can feed me too." Compassion, caring, providing. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. St. Augustine said that, and I've put that on posters that we see sometimes around the church. He does. We are loved, and as we are loved, we are to do the same. He asks us to care, to have compassion, to go out, to teach, to heal, and feed people. And actually, it's stronger than that. He commands us to feed others, to offer both spiritual bread, the bread of heaven, and that would be sharing Jesus, sharing our faith, and the bread that we make, the physical bread, which is actually providing for people's needs, their physical needs, like we do with the backpack program. A couple committees that I work with are reading this book by Bob Goff. It's called Love Does. That's exactly it. Yes, love does something. The good news is that we are not left alone to live out this command. God's power is always with us. It is promised. And all we need to do is bring what we have, as small as it is, just like the man did to the prophet Elijah and the little boy did to Jesus on that hillside. Because when we place something, even the smallest something, in Jesus' hands, miracles happen. And I think it has to do with compassion. When we allow our hearts to be moved so that we can really feel and see who we're caring for, whether it's each other here in the congregation, our neighbors, our friends, our family, or people we haven't even met yet when we go out to serve in mission, we can do far more than we think we can. When we have compassion, when we really care, not only can we help, but we will help. I'm reading a book at home called Beautiful Souls. It looks like this. Beautiful Souls, The Courage and Conscience of Ordinary People in Extraordinary Times. And he's looking at why people go against the grain to do remarkable things. And the first example he gives takes place during World War II in Switzerland. Switzerland has always understood itself to be a place where they are open and they welcome everybody. They are a place of safety and we call them neutral. They are a neutral place and have been for centuries. Well, when the Nazi Party took over Austria in the late 30s, the border between Austria and Switzerland now was receiving a lot of Jewish refugees. And so officials in the Swiss government started asking the question, well, what do we do about this? Because this we're getting too many Jews in our country. And so they started making stricter policies about sending Jewish people back, and they would stamp their passports with a J if they were Jewish. Well, there was one official in the police who would receive the Jews and who would ignore the J and would bring them on in. He eventually got caught and lost his job, and the rest of his life was spent in abject poverty. But what this author discovered through modern studies is that people will allow their conscience to override the think of the group when they are up close to the need. And what happened was after Paul got caught doing this, his supervisor, one of the men who made the policies, started inspecting the border. And when he would go to inspect the border and to see the people that were seeking to come, all of a sudden that border crossing point would receive more people in and not reject them at the border. And then he would leave and he'd go to the next border crossing for an inspection. And it all of a sudden, that border crossing place would start allowing more Jewish people in. And it was because, and he himself said, because when I saw the people, I couldn't reject them. But then he went back to his office, and in his office with his fellow policymakers, he would enact stricter laws about rejecting the Jews. Fascinating that when you see the people, when you know the people, have the compassion that Jesus had, it will affect how we act, and we will become loving. We will do the things that we know God wants. This story of the loaves and fishes shows us that God cares. But mostly it shows us that what is small and significant, our little bit seeming so small in the face of the huge world's needs, when we offer it to God, it will be multiplied to provide for the people in front of us, which is providing for what the world needs. Miracles all have beginnings, and most of the time they are small beginnings. Remember that the smallest thing can indeed feed a multitude, because in Jesus' hands, a little bit goes a long way. Amen.